Welcome to Test All Things. Test All Things is an outreach of Tower to Truth Ministries, and I'm your host, Fran Sankey. You can find us on the web at towertotruth.net. Test All Things is a Bible discernment evangelistic program dedicated to creating an awareness of and biblical answers to false religious teachings opposing Christianity today. Well, if you've listened to the show before, you know that if you have questions about Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, or maybe how Roman Catholicism differs from Baptist doctrine, well, maybe I'm the man you want to talk to. But if you want to talk about vampires, well, that's another story. You don't want to talk to me. You want to talk to my special guest who's on the phone with me today. She is Marcia Montenegro. Marcia is a former New Ager. She's been on the show before a couple times. She's an expert on the New Age and the occult. Her ministry is Cana, which stands for Christian Answers for the New Age, and she also has a book called Spellbound, The Paranormal Seduction of Today's Kids. Today she's here to talk about the series of new vampire romance novels and subsequent HBO episodes that are really taking people captive today, and it's called Twilight. So, Marcia, thanks for being here again.
Thanks so much for having me, Fran.
You are welcome. Marcia, Twilight. What is Twilight about?
Twilight, the Twilight Saga, is a series of four books that revolve around the romance between Bella, who is 17 when the books begin, and Edward, who is a vampire. She meets Edward at her high school, and they are attracted to each other and eventually develop a relationship, and this leads to all kinds of situations and adventures throughout the four books.
Give us an idea, how popular is this series?
This series is incredibly popular. This series of books have sold something like 85 million copies in 50 countries. Over 85 million copies in 50 countries as of November 2009. And it spawned a lot of merchandise as well. There's Twilight t-shirts, Twilight totes, Twilight sheets, Twilight wall calendars, and just they've become extremely popular.
Kind of like the Beatles, huh?
Kind of, yeah.
You said there's several books. How many are in the series?
There's four books in the series.
Okay, four books. Now, how about the author? Who wrote the book?
Stephanie Meyer wrote the books, and Stephanie Meyer is a practicing Mormon. She wrote the books based on a dream she had. She's been interviewed a lot. She's on YouTube. She seems to keep in touch with her fan base very closely. She got the idea for the books from a dream she had. She saw a young girl and this glittering young man. He was like shining in the sun, sitting by a tree, speaking in a meadow. And in the dream, she knew this young man was a vampire. And so this dream inspired her, and she wrote the books based on this dream.
That's interesting that she's a Mormon. You wouldn't think the Mormon Church would really approve of a series of books like this.
Well, I don't know if they would or not, but she does have some things in there some people believe are influenced by the Mormon views. Now, I'm not an expert on the Mormon religion. That's not in my area of ministry. I do know a few things. And I have noticed a few things in the books that I think are related to her Mormon faith.
Yeah, I think we're going to talk about them a little later. So 85 million copies, pretty incredible. T-shirts, the whole thing. Why do you think this is so popular? Is there kind of a vampire trend in the entertainment world?
There definitely seems to be such a trend. We can go back to Buffy and the Vampire Slayer. Of course, Buffy wasn't a vampire, but eventually there were good vampires in the story, and that produced an interest in vampires. Of course, there was Anne Rice and her series of Interview with a Vampire books, and the movies based on that. And then we've had, more recently, we've had Moonlight, which is a detective story where the vampire helps a woman detective solve cases. And more recently, and in fact currently, there are two vampire series on TV. True Blood, which is an HBO series. I've watched a few episodes of that. And The Vampire Diaries, which it seems oriented towards teenagers and young adults. I have watched one episode of that. It's based on a series of books about two brothers who are vampires. So there are a lot of themes, these vampire themes. And, of course, the movies, two movies have been made of four Twilight books. The first two books have been made into movies.
If you just join me, I am speaking with Marcia Montenegro. She is at ChristianAnswersForTheNewAge.org. You can find her testimony there, book reviews, movie reviews, articles on many New Age topics and occult topics. And you can also check out more about her book, Spellbound, The Paranormal Seduction of Today's Kids. I think you can either find it probably through her ministry or on Amazon.com. So, Marcia, Twilight, real big, very popular. What audience, what age group does Twilight attract?
Initially, it seemed to attract teenagers and young adults, especially girls and young women, more so than men, which is understandable since it is a romance. However, it soon became clear that women of all ages were reading these books. I know quite a few women who are old enough to be the mothers or even the grandmothers of some of these teenagers who are reading the books. And just quite a few adult women have gotten into the books as well. I know at the two movies that I've attended, I would say there were as many adult women there as there were teenagers and young adult women, just about, very close. Not as many men, and, you know, one could guess maybe the men were there being brought by their girlfriends or whatever. It's just not, the books don't seem to appeal to men as much. But the number of women into these books and into the movies is tremendous, and it does seem to cross the age, you know, into all age groups.
So vampires, I think of Count Dracula, sleeps in a coffin, hates the sunlight, doesn't see himself in the mirror. What kind of activities do the vampires in Twilight participate in? Do they have any special powers or anything they don't like?
Yeah, the vampires in these books are not the traditional vampire sleeping in a coffin kind of thing. These vampires, first of all, they don't sleep at all, and they can go in the sun. When they go in the sun, they don't burn, but their skin sparkles and glistens. Meyer describes Edward's skin, you know, glistening like a diamond, and actually they look beautiful in the sun, but because of that, because they have to hide who they are, they try not to go into the sun. Also, there's nothing about garlic. I don't think, in fact, I think they, you know, that doesn't bother them at all. They do have special powers, and it seems that when somebody becomes a vampire in these books, they discover they have a special gift. I found this very interesting because it reminded me a little bit of the Bible, which talks about believers receiving gifts from the Holy Spirit, and the vampires also get different gifts, and so they each have a particular talent. Some of these talents come into play in the books. For example, Edward can hear people's thoughts, except for Bella. He can't hear her thoughts, but he can hear everybody else, which is, of course, a convenient talent to have. So he always knows what everybody's thinking. And then other vampires have other kinds of talents. There's a vampire who can partially see the future. She can see the future based on decisions. But if someone changes their decision, then the future she sees changes. Another vampire has the ability to alter your mood. And then there are vampires with destructive powers, like making you feel like you're burning up, and another vampire who can blind you. So they all have these fantastic, mostly supernatural type gifts.
So I guess the main characters are Bella, the girl, and Edward, the vampire.
Yes, they are the main characters. There's another very important character named Jacob, who is a member of a Native American tribe, whom Bella befriends. They become very good friends, although Jacob feels a lot more for her than friendship. And Jacob discovers in the course of the books, he discovers that he becomes a wolf. He can turn into a wolf. And this apparently is a genetic thing inherited through his tribe. And so he becomes this band, part of a band of what initially are called werewolves. At the very end of the fourth book, it's revealed that they're not really technically werewolves, they're shapeshifters. But throughout the books, they're pretty much called werewolves. And he has a role in this story too, rather an unusual role at the end of the book. But for a while, Bella is torn between Jacob and Edward. So for a little bit there, especially in the second book and part of the third, there's kind of a triangle thing going on between the three of them, because Jacob wants Bella as much as Edward does. And she feels very guilty about Jacob. So there's that kind of romantic triangle going on. The other characters who are prominent are members of what Edward calls his family, but they're actually his clan. But they're called like his father, mother, brothers, and sisters. And they're somewhat prominent in the books as well.
Okay, we got about a minute. Is this a book that parents should allow their kids to read?
Absolutely not. I don't think personally anybody should read these books. I found them rather gruesome, especially the fourth book. But these books are especially way beyond children, and I even think teenagers, because of the subject matter. And although there's no graphic sex, there's a lot of sexual innuendo, and there's a very erotic kind of sexually charged atmosphere in parts of the books.
Okay, we're going to close for today, but we're going to talk a lot more about Twilight next week. Marcia, thanks for being here again.
Thanks so much for having me back, Fran.
Just a short recap, what is Twilight?
Twilight is a series of four books based on a romance between Bella, who starts off in the books as human, age 17, and Edward, who is a vampire. And there, the complications that arise from the fact that Bella is human and Edward is a vampire, and this leads actually to Bella wanting to become a vampire so that she can be with Edward forever. And that does happen in the fourth book.
Why is Edward so attracted to this human, Bella?
Yeah, the reason he's attracted to her is not very romantic at all. He's attracted to the fragrance of her blood. And this is repeated over and over in many ways in the first book about how her blood is so irresistible to him, and he's so drawn to her blood. Now, Edward is a vampire who is in a clan that has sworn not to drink the blood of humans, and they only drink the blood of animals, which is not true for the other vampires in the book, for most of the other vampires. However, they are still drawn towards people's blood, and even though Edward can master this desire to a certain extent, he just finds Bella irresistible. So this is his main attraction to her, which I don't find very romantic at all. But he is so obsessed with her, he even comes into her room at night while she's asleep. Now, for quite a while, she's not aware of this. And then later, she finds out that he's been doing this. So he's sort of like a stalker. I mean, he follows her around. He watches her at night while she sleeps. He's obsessed with her. And then she discovers it. And by this time, she's in love with him, and she's obsessed with him. By the way, she lies to her father all the time because, of course, she can't tell her father this guy's coming into her room at night. And finally at the point where they are admittedly in love with each other, Edward actually gets into bed with Bella. And although they don't do anything, they sleep together every night. So this is what the books talk about in quite a lot of detail, actually. So I found it very misleading that one of the reasons these books were being promoted by some Christians, you know, because supposedly they teach sexual abstinence, I found that to be very misleading considering that Edward and Bella are lying in bed together and that there is a lot of sexually charged innuendo going on throughout the books. So the sexual abstinence is there in a technical sense, but the sexually charged atmosphere is also there. I think people should be aware of that. I don't think, not very many people have admitted that.
So Bella really is not a role model for these teenage girls who are reading
this Absolutely book. Not. And this is not the romance. This romance and relationship is not the role model I would think most parents would want for their sons or their daughters. I just can't imagine that they would be okay with this. So it's just the fact that they remain sexually pure is not sufficient to make this a good romance.
You said that the book, especially the later books, maybe the last one, is very gruesome, very grisly. Wondering if you have any quotes that you could read from the books. Do you have any on hand?
Yes, I do. There's in the last book, Edward and Bella do get married, and before she's still a human at that time, and then before she turns into a vampire, she becomes pregnant, and in the pregnancy, she's having a very hard time because this baby is half vampire, and it's growing at these tremendous rates and breaking her bones, and she's in a lot of pain. She's losing weight, and they finally hit on the idea of giving her blood because they figure the baby, since the baby's half vampire, the baby wants blood. And once they start giving cups of blood to Bella, she starts getting stronger and healthier. So she's downing these cups of blood and beginning to like the taste of it. And at some point during the childbirth process, when it seems she's about to die, Edward injects what they call his venom into her heart, his blood into her heart, and that turns her into a vampire after 3 days of agony. She does become a vampire, but the initial state of a new vampire, according to Stephanie Meyer, is one in which you cannot control your urges. So they're afraid to let Bella near her baby because they're afraid she'll try to kill her baby and drink her baby's blood. Now, I'm putting it very mildly. Believe me, the book is a lot more graphic. And then later, when Bella's on a hunt with Edward, because now she's a vampire, she has to hunt animals, they go and they see some mountain lions. And so it says, "My teeth unerringly sought his throat, and his instinctive resistance was pitifully feeble against my strength." And she says, "Biting into the animal was effortless as biting into butter. And the flavor was wrong, but the blood was hot and wet, and it soothed the ragged, itching thirst as I drank in an eager rush. The cat's struggles grew more and more feeble, and his screams choked off with a gurgle. The warmth of the blood radiated throughout my whole body, heating even my fingertips and toes." Now, there's a sample in the fourth book, Breaking Dawn, that I found gruesome and repulsive. I mean, this is not the kind of reading I would choose for myself for
absolutely not
enjoyment.
No.
I'm only reading these books because they are so popular and because I felt they related in some ways to my ministry. I would never describe these books as enjoyable for myself.
The voice you're hearing is Marcia Montenegro. She is at ChristianAnswersForTheNewAge.org. You can contact her through her website. She is an expert on the New Age and the occult. You mentioned something earlier in the first show that was very intriguing. The author of Twilight, whose name is Stephanie Meyer, is a Mormon, and I know you're not an expert on Mormonism, but are there any hints that you saw in Twilight that maybe some Mormon doctrine really kind of crept into her writing?
Yes, there were a few things that I saw. The most obvious to me was the fact that becoming a vampire makes Bella immortal, and therefore she and Edward have an immortal, eternal marriage. And I know that in the Mormon faith, they believe that, you know, if your marriage is sealed in the temple, or if you have your marriage in the temple, that if you're going to have this eternal marriage, you will be married even after death and be on your own kind of kingdom or planet there that you'll rule. And so I saw some hints of that with this eternal marriage here. Also, I thought that there was this almost Gnostic flavor to the books, where once Bella becomes a vampire, she realizes how superior she is to when she had been a human. And actually, humans are sort of spoken about as being vastly inferior to this vampire state. And the vampires are depicted in sort of a godlike way, as though they've become gods, and they have these supernatural powers. And when a vampire makes someone else a vampire, he or she is called the creator of that vampire. And so they'll say, well, I created, you know, this vampire. It reminded me a little bit of the idea in the Mormon faith of after death becoming gods and becoming gods of your own planet that you rule. And also the idea that in the Mormon beliefs that before we came to earth, we were all spirit children in heaven. And so our actual state, our natural state, is to be this kind of spirit, godlike state, not the human state. It's like they go beyond human and become deified. And that idea of going beyond being human and the human being inferior, I felt that expressed in the book might be a result of her Mormon views.
How about any mention of religion or any attitude toward Christianity, excuse me, that comes through?
There's only one very brief mention of that, and it's a negative. It's a negative. It's talking about one of the vampires who's actually called Edward's father, Carlisle, and how somebody in his life had been a Christian who hunted down werewolves and vampires, but this is talked about in a negative way, and that's the only explicit mention to any kind of Christian faith that I noticed or that I recall.
Okay, I guess we might only have time for one more question. The apple on the front cover, anything religious about that?
Yeah, that is a more subtle reference to something religious, of course, the Garden of Eden. And actually, Stephanie Meyer said that the apple does represent the forbidden fruit from the book of Genesis and symbolizes Bella and Edward's love, which is forbidden, similar to the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And she has a quote from Genesis 2:17 at the beginning of the book. And it also represents Bella's knowledge of what good and evil are and the choice that she is partaking of the forbidden fruit. So the idea that she puts this fruit here that's supposedly from the forbidden tree and says it represents their love, to me is somewhat of a it's giving a suggestion that maybe it's okay to do what is forbidden, because certainly that's what Bella and Edward do. And I know in the Mormon religion that they do think the fall was actually, in the long run, a good thing, because it allows the spirit children to become human and thereby eventually grow into this godlike state after death.
Okay, today I was talking with Marcia Montenegro. Check her out at Christian Answers for the New Age. You'll also find some more articles on Twilight that go into more detail than we had time for today. If you're interested in a copy of this two-part interview on Twilight, contact me by email or phone. My email is help@towertotruth.net. My phone is 610-513-5525. That's 610-513-5525. 5525 and join me again next week for another apologetic issue facing Christianity today. And remember, don't just believe everything you hear, but test all things.